Turn to Philippians 4. I just want to briefly share, and then as I said, I'd like to go into an extended time of prayer. So I'll just share briefly. I had this passage in my mind last time I preached, but I didn't bring it into the sermon. But I just feel I'd like to just touch on this morning and just be brief with it. You know, I have my go-to passages, like some over the years of being a Christian. I have chapters, or I mean verses, obviously, but I have chapters too that are like a go-to chapter for me. And I even thought, oh, wouldn't that be good to do a series on the go-to chapters or whatever? But perhaps they're different for all of us for different reasons. But, you know, one of the go-to chapters that I often hear people say is Romans 8. You know, Romans chapter 8 is people's favourite chapter because it really emphasises that nothing can separate us from God's love. It's really clear about that. That there's some things in there about sonship, and there's some things in there about being led by the Spirit, and there's some things, this is all in Romans 8, and there's some things in there about all things work together for good. You know, if we love God and are called according to His purpose, it's a brilliant, beautiful chapter. It's a go-to chapter. Anyone else found Romans 8 to be a go-to chapter for you? And so there's others like Psalm 1, I think, is a go-to chapter for me. I love Psalm 1. It just stirs me and reminds me of, you know, what I'm letting influence and lead my life, and just and the promises of just the picture of a tree. You've heard me talk about it plenty of times. So I love that. And when I'm feeling a bit lost or feeling like I need a bit of direction, you know, Psalm 1 is a go-to scripture, and it doesn't take very long before something shifts inside of you. It's not even shifting in your mind. Something shifts in your spirit, and you just see things a bit differently, and you get on top of what's happening. And Philippians 4 is one of those go-to scriptures. And I'm just going to pull out three verses. Well, verse number one, just to introduce it, and then three other verses that I think are why this is a go-to chapter for me. And I think it'll be helpful if these three verses are verses that you become a bit familiar with too. I know many of you would be already, so I know that already. So I don't need to unpack them too much. I just want to sort of introduce them as go-to scriptures. And maybe at this season, but I mean any season really, isn't it? These scriptures will be helpful. So let me start off with a bit of an introduction. It says, therefore, verse 1, therefore my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I love it, isn't it? Beloved is used twice in that verse. I mean, beloved, it's a word that we know the word, but we're not overly familiar. We don't use that word so much. We say my beloved, you know, might be a person that's close to us, or your wife, or your husband maybe, or, you know, whatever. But we use it to describe someone. But the word beloved, my mind went to 3 John and verse 2. Which says, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And what that verse does is like saying, beloved, it's saying, the one I love, this is what I wish for you. And so when you're talking to the beloved, you're wanting to encourage, you're wanting to say something that will be helpful, you're wanting to just express that through that love, my intentions for you are, you know, are really positive. Do you know what I mean? So, Sam, you're my beloved, and so therefore my desire for you is that everything will go well for you because you're my beloved. Do you know what I'm saying? And so 3 John 2 is that same way. Beloved, this is what I wish for you because you're my beloved. And I really just pick up Paul's heart in this. You know, therefore my beloved, longed for, brethren, my joy and my crown. I mean, this is not even God speaking to us. This is just a brother, you know, in the Lord speaking. You know, we could nurture and encourage this kind of attitude for one another, couldn't we? We could say, you know, Jeremy, you know, my longed for, my brethren, my joy and my crown. Because what am I saying? I'm not saying I want to hug him or kiss him. Maybe I'd hug him all right, but, you know, don't want to kiss him, especially with a beard. But maybe what I'm saying is, you know, you're my joy and my crown. That actually I get delight when I see you flourish. I get joy when I see you, you know, there's reward when I see your life going well. Isn't that what it's saying here? So Paul is writing and he's saying, he's actually in a rather difficult predicament himself when he's writing this. And he's saying, my beloved, you're my crown, you're my joy. And then he's about to give them this, what I called a go-to passage with a few real keys about how they can really do well. And he says this word, so beloved is in there twice, but then he says this word, my joy and my crown, stand fast in the Lord. And that's the other word I've circled in this on here. I've highlighted in orange and then I've circled and then I've scribbled because it's just such a beautiful verse. But he's saying, you know, I love you. You're my beloved. You're my joy and my crown. I get excited. I feel rewarded when you flourish, when you do well. That's how I feel. I don't feel jealous of you. I don't feel threatened by you. What I feel like is I celebrate every victory that you have. I celebrate everything that happens that's in a positive way in your life. Hey, how good is that? Let's be a church that has that heart to one another. Not just what God thinks that way towards us, but what about we think that way towards one another? How good would that be? I think, you know, I don't think we fail in that area at all, but hey, can't we grow in that area? It'd be great to be cheering for one another in exactly that way. So then he says, but stand fast. And so, you know, again, I don't want to talk too much about it, but when you stand fast, it's sort of saying, what you know, continue in. You know, what you've established, continue to let it be established in your life. I was talking last time, I think I got to Galatians 3, where Paul was challenging them and saying, you know, how you started, now you're shifting from the simplicity of the gospel. And he says, who's distracted you? Who's bewitched you? Who's tricked you? What it is that's taking you off course? You started simple, full of faith and trusting God's grace. And now what's happened that you're starting to think, well, I've got to do better. I've got to try harder. And so he's saying to them, who's robbing you? What's robbing you? What's distracted you? So when Paul says stand fast, what he's saying is not to get distracted, not to have something come that's like an obstacle in your journey of faith. And so here he's saying, my beloved, stand fast in the Lord. You know, trust the Lord. When he says stand fast in the Lord, he says trust in the Lord. You know, stand on him. Let him be the rock of your life. Let him be the foundation where your feet are on. You know, not the miry clay, but standing on a rock. That's what he's saying. Stand fast. And then we're not going to read the whole chapter, but I want to go to three verses now and quickly say why he might be introducing it this way and then bringing us to these three scriptures, because he's saying to them, I want you to stand fast. Here's a few things that will help you to stand fast. So verse 6. Well, actually, yeah, I've got to start at verse 4 to 6. Alrighty, so rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. You don't have to rejoice when things are going tough. You don't say, oh, isn't it good things are going tough? But rejoice in the Lord. Lord, I'm glad that you're with me in this. Lord, I'm glad that you have a plan for my life. I'm glad that you've never given up the blueprint. Even when I mess it up, you don't give up on me. And so there's that rejoicing in the Lord. Rejoice. I say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And that gentleness is really your graciousness or your trust in God's grace. Or you're not panicking, you're not reacting, but you're actually calm. I did a study one time, I think someone said something and it made me do a study on just where it talks in the Bible about just being calm, having a calmness. Because I'm getting a bit sidetracked, but sometimes, you know, people might suggest that I'm a little bit too calm at times. I should be a bit more passionate, you know, whatever. And I think, no, I'm happy with the way I am. I'm fine, you know. But some people think, you know, and I'm not thinking that heaps of people tell me this, don't get me wrong, but sometimes, you know, you're wrestling with what should I be like? Am I a little bit withdrawn? Am I a little bit, you know, timid? Should I be more bold? You know, those sorts of things. Am I the only one that goes through that sort of thing? And I've learned to say, you know what, I'm just happy. I'm happy. I'm happy to be calm. I'm passionate, but I like to be calm. I'm happy to be an anchor. I'm happy to be anchored. Now, I'm not saying I don't have uncalm days. I definitely do. Or stormy days. But, you know, this whole thing of being calm, and I think that's what he's saying. He says, let your gentleness be known. Let your calmness be known. Let your graciousness be known. You know, don't be a reactive person. Just be someone who, whatever it comes, whether it's, you know, difficult or hard or whatever, you know, you can show emotion. Absolutely, it's not about that. But it's about that actually that you've got a steadiness. Your graph is not like this, but your graph is, you know, a bit more maybe occasionally like that. Do you get what I'm talking about, or am I talking another language? Is that all right? So just that calmness. And then he says, be anxious. This is all tied together. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And this is talking about prayer. It's talking about trust. It's talking about bringing it to the Lord. Bringing it to the Lord. Your supplication with thanksgiving. Asking and thanking Him. That's what that's talking about. So that verse, surrounded by 4 through to 7 verse 6 is a really critical verse. Remember that, Philippians 4, 6, okay? It's a go-to verse for you. And for many of you, it probably already has been in your life. You know, it goes on to talk about, here's the things to think about. Here's the things to meditate upon. I didn't want to go into that today because there's so much in there that it would take too long. But that's what's after this. 8 through is a few verses that say, here's the things to think about. So here's Paul, remember? Paul saying, I love you. You're my crown. You're my joy. Stand fast. You know, I just love it when you just keep on going, and when you stand fast, I celebrate that. So don't be anxious for anything. Bring it to prayer. Come to the Lord. Trust Him with what you have need of. Give Him thanks. So prayer was the first one. Now it's what you meditate upon. Well, that's a bit of a side one. Think about these things. They're going to help you to be anchored. And then he goes to verse 13, which is the other one. So Philippians 4, 6, Philippians 4, 13. All right? I can do all things through Christ. Again, I'm sorry, I've got to go back the verse before. Verse 11. Not that I speak in regard... See how I sneaked that in? I said 13, the verse before, and then I started verse 11. Did anyone notice that? Like I just cheated another... Yeah, Jackson noticed that. All right, so... not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned... Now, this is something learned. I've learned whatever state I am to be content. It didn't come natural. He learned it. The lessons of life. I'd think about it before you pray. Lord, teach me to be like Paul. I would think a little bit about that because it's... Maybe there's some consequences to that kind of prayer. Teach me to be a person that has learned whatever state I'm in to be content. Well, the journey might be uncomfortable, but I tell you, the destination would be worth it, wouldn't it, to be content. He says, I know how to be abased, that is, to suffer loss and to be without. I know how to abound. He kind of says, it doesn't really make much difference anymore. Whether I've got plenty or whether I've got none, it actually doesn't really make much difference. There's nothing wrong with either, But he says, it doesn't make much difference to me. I've learned, whatever state I'm in there with, to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Wow. 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then he says, thank you, though, for sharing with me and helping me. So I can do all things. So there's this sense of prayer. There's this sense of our dependence upon God, that everything that we need to respond to both the difficult and the flourishing times, because who knows, sometimes it can actually be harder to handle flourishing times. I don't know if anyone has kind of thought much about that, but you know, actually the times when things are going easy and well can actually be the times of the greatest struggle in some ways. It doesn't feel like struggle, but it can actually be the hardest time to keep your focus and to stay, you know, in the right lane, as it were. So that's 13. And then I'm going to jump straight to 19 because I want to get into the prayer. So it says 4:19. So 4:6, 4:13, 4:19. And my God, so again, he's talking in the context of, thank you for providing for me. I've learned to be content, but thank you anyway. 19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So whether he's talking about himself, whether he's talking about their need, he's saying this is what will help you to stand fast. Prayer, verse 6, I can do all things. That's drawing all my strength, everything I need. A bit like that verse said. The song said up there, you know, be thou my strength, be thou my wisdom. Well, I get my strength and my wisdom from him. I can do all things through him, because when I'm relying on him, then I can do a lot more than what I can do on my own. And then verse 19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God will provide our need. So as we come to pray, prayer, you know, coming to God, thanking him, asking him. We're invited to do that. To draw all our strength from him. To ask him for strength and to draw our strength from him. To draw all our provision and our sense of dependence and security upon him. Are three things that will help us to stand fast. All right, can anyone tell me what those three verses are, the references? Philippians 4, 6? Philippians 4, 13, Philippians 4:19. All right. Hey, remember them. They'll be great go-to verses, and this will be a great go-to chapter. Alrighty, so to prayer. We started 3 weeks of prayer, and I guess just to keep it focused and keep it simple, what we decided to do was to have the first week of prayer, which was 2 weeks ago. We had the first week of prayer, and it was praying for overseas. So praying for our overseas missions, the people that we know and love who are overseas, but also praying for countries that we can see struggling in different ways for all sorts of reasons. You know, wasn't it horrible to watch Beirut and see what had happened there? I mean, it's terrible to just see the loss of life and all sorts of things in so many places in the world. It's almost unbearable, isn't it? So there are nations that just God draws our attention to that we can pray for. So we're praying for like a mission field, the missionaries, those that we know in our mission fields, but also just if a country is on your heart that you're really burdened for, to pray for those countries, all right? So that was one area where we just spent a week in prayer for the nations. Serbia and Sri Lanka and China for Rach. That Sunday Rach came in and talked to us. Remember, that was great. PNG, Haiti, our Canberra church support Jocasta, and she's been here to visit. And also just any place that we feel is on our heart because we can see a great burden in those nations. The second week we prayed for, which is just finishing now, we prayed for our nation of Australia. Again, twofold, praying for our churches and, you know, our wider Christian communities right across the nation, for our Christian, you know, churches in the nation, for our government leaders at all levels. You know, they do carry an extreme burden at the moment, no matter what your opinion of them is or how well you think you're doing it. They need our prayer, don't they? And not praying like, you know, make the fool wise, but prayer that comes from a heart that really wants to just equip them for all that they need and to help them through this time. They're all humans with families and with you know, lives they're trying to live, and it would be tremendously burdensome at the moment. And I think we should pray for our leaders. The Bible tells us to do that, but in any case, it makes sense, doesn't it? Like, if you've got any compassion at all, you feel for, you know, our those who are having to day by day try and keep track of things and make decisions and lead the nation. So much criticism that they get, they really need to stay off social media for sure. Anyway, and then our cities and communities where we, you know, see our hot spots or we think are struggling in different ways. And so for our own churches across the nation. And then this week that we're leading into, we want to pray, again, bring it down another level and pray for our own communities, our local churches, obviously, and church leaders and community leaders, for our businesses. You know, it's tough, isn't it, for businesses, for schools, for just whatever's on your heart, all the service providers. You could go on and on and on about community. And so there are things that we can pray for in our own community. So if people feel led to pray in some way today for any of those things, that's absolutely fine. And then, but as we go into this week ahead, can we just be focusing on our own communities? That would be really great, and praying for our own communities. And then our own families, obviously, are part of that as well. And families we know, people that we know. Alrighty, so we'll pray for that. There's a couple of specific needs as well that we could pray for. Perhaps I'll open it up to prayer, and then I'll share a couple of specific needs from people from our own midst here who are in hospital. One or two prayer requests that we could pray for. Alright, so we'll do that. Now, what I'm going to do is just I'd love you just to participate in prayer. I'll ask you, look, I really want to give some time to this, but if we pray quickly, you know, one after the other, then we'll get best use of this time where we can just really pray and agree together, okay? So as you feel led to pray. Obviously, not everyone's confident to pray out loud. I encourage you to do so. We're family. But if you don't feel that comfortable but you have a prayer request, well, just pray. God hears, and, you know, we're in agreement together. You just pray privately if you don't feel like you can pray out loud. I'll ask Jack, as I said, to go around with the mic, and he'll hold it for you to pray. So you can stick your hand up. And Jack will come to you, or if you just start praying, he'll run over and put it in your face to pray, all right? So is that all right? Are we happy with that? So so we'll just start to pray. Feel free to stand and go over beside a heater if you're a bit cold sitting there. Feel free just to pray, you know, where you are, however you want to do that. So let's open it up to prayer. All right, so I'll just lead in a prayer to start with, and then I'll just invite, you know, you to pray again. Just indicate to Jack and he'll come to you. And to pray. All right. So, Father, we just come this morning. Thank you that you, Paul, when he was expressing his heart, really was expressing your heart very much too. That you, we're your beloved. That you talk to us like we're your crown and your joy. You celebrate the victories that we have in our life. You give us principles to live by because you're a perfect Father. You at times correct us but never condemn us because you love us enough and you want us to stand fast in things that will be bring to pass your perfect intentions and your perfect plan and your perfect blueprint for our life and for our journey. And you know us way better than we know ourselves. And so help us to trust you. Help us to know your heart and your intentions for us more and more. Thank you that you've already revealed that in many ways to us. And we just love this journey of faith that we're on. So I just pray today, Lord, we thank you as we come together as a corporate group and are able to petition you and reach out to you and to thank you together that, Lord, your hand is moved and our prayers is joined with the prayers of many others in all sorts of ways. But, Lord, we thank you that you're powerful and able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so as we bring these needs to you, Lord, we know your ear is attentive. We know we don't need to plead with you. Lord, as we pray from our hearts, our fervent hearts, Lord, we know your hand is quick to move and to respond and to lead us in the things that are according to your will. So we thank you for this time today.